Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Hello, sir.
How's it going, man? I'm gonna skip right ahead, actually, to a boost that's relevant. I want to give you the chance to respond to this. I'm putting you on the spot. This one's about you. This boost came in last week from Awake in Mass for $20 and said, watched every episode so far, love the show, thank you. So that's not that crazy. That's just a nice boost. But there was another one from Joseph Fawcett. First off, never ever thought I'd hear what I heard on this side of eternity. BB, you're right about being confident and solid for Yahweh's ways of justice, which we do not have. Yahweh's laws on capital punishment were from the view of getting rid of bad people who would teach bad things. Yahweh's never for jails and prisons. It was about the offender paying back for restoring the victim. And he ends it with this little button to you. Forgive me for asking this, Julian, are you blind? What's with the sunglasses?
Yeah, I'm blind. Well, first of all, I wear the sunglasses because, I mean, I think I look cool. No, it's not that. I look like a douchebag. I'm fully aware of that. It's honestly just about keeping one thread of anonymity. If I can just hold on to a thread of it, I'm gonna hold on to it. So that's why I do it, you know. I realize like how gay and annoying it must come off to everyone out there, but you know, it is what it is. Maybe there'll come a day where I will shed my Stevie Wonder sunglasses, but it's not today.
You know what? On that note, I do have to say, and most of our community are fantastic. Well, everybody who watches Badlands is fantastic, except for people like Wildborn and Fredo. They're the worst. But besides that, something that does somewhat surprise me is there's people that, you know, we go to these events and we talk and we really get to know our audience and they get to know us, right? So there's a familiarity. But we've got anonymous screen names. We became known as Anons. We're in a decentralized info war, and people in the media establishment will stop at nothing to absolutely destroy the lives of people like us using anything that they have. And the reason I say that is people in our audience will very often ask us very personal questions that would dox very personal information about yes. us. So like, I know most of you guys don't do that, but the next time a question pops into your mind, such as like, who is such and such Badlander marrying? Where do you live? What's your address? Can I send you something? What's your full family name? What's your genealogy? Like, my cousins don't ask me questions like that, right? So just keep in mind that we've lost jobs for stuff like this. We've, you know, and besides that, it takes one crazy motherfucker to know where I live. If I'm giving speeches, if I was giving a speech down the street, I'm not telling people exactly where I live, right? Right. So it's just like, it just spins off of the sunglasses comment, you know, like it can seem silly to some people where they're like, hey, your face is out there. Why do you even go by Burning Bright? First of all, because I became known as Burning Bright. So why be known as anything else? But it's also like you said, the more like layers we can keep between this stuff and our families and our lives, it's just common sense, right? It's the same thing. You don't bring your work home. If you're a police officer, you don't, police officers don't want to be identified. Like, it's the same with a lot of these walks of life.
Yeah, and the touch on the family point, though, I think that's one part that a lot of people don't think about as much. Sure, you're thinking about yourself, you know, like I don't want to be banned from the job world or, you know, have my reputation immolated, et cetera, et cetera. But also, like, I don't want my family to, you know, have to pay for anything I said or did. You know, I don't want them involved with some crazy just because I got on video and said retard and gay and, you know, and then seen in an article. You know, it's not fair to them. And, you know, that I think is my biggest fear. And which is interesting, too, because when you think back to those who follow the Q drops, you know, that's how they control a lot of these folks. If, you know, they won't submit to their rule if they can't get blackmail on them, et cetera, well, then they'll go after your family, which is what they try to do with Trump and his children. And it's such an insidious piece of shit thing to do, but those people are out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like, obviously we understand too that when people do ask questions, they're curious and it's like, it makes total sense. We've got a relationship. We talk back and forth, all this kind of stuff. But again, people would probably be surprised. There are very few people that I directly work with within Badlands who know personal details about me and that I know personal details about them, just because it's not necessary. It's not even necessary to know. What matters is what we're putting out there. And, you know, when we put our faces out there and all this kind of stuff, anybody in this community, any of you guys chatting online, even under pseudonyms and anon names, which most of you do, we're all aware that, you know, people could figure out who we are. People could dox. The media could really go after us. They certainly did it with John Harold. That's why he goes by John Harold now, because the media took that shield away from him. But again, the more I also keep it for some of that legal shielding, right? Because if you don't give it out and then they come and they try to take your privacy, then maybe you have some legal recompense for that sort of thing, where if you are voluntarily giving out all of this information about yourself, you don't really have a leg to stand on when it comes to the people that mean us harm.
Aren't there like doxing laws or proposed doxing laws? It was some state that I thought I saw this law being proposed in, but I'm not sure. I know that Elon Musk has talked about how it's sort of one of his biggest rules on X is anti-doxing. So
right. And PJ Corrigan, my blood type is no. Actually, I can't even dox that information to you because I don't know
my blood type. You know what's funny? I had no idea what mine was either. I had to call my mom the other day and ask her. I'm like, you know what the fuck my blood type is? People like who know that stuff crack me up. Like people who know their eye prescriptions off the top of their head, that's one that always blows me away.
Yeah.
I have no idea what mine is.
And then PJ says again, John doxed his own parent address. I actually gave John shit last night on the Power Hour for accidentally doxing somebody who entered a Badlands contest. So just for the record, when it comes to almost anything regarding information, as smart as he is, do not take John Harold's, do not use him as an example to look at of what I am saying, right? Like, the guy just does stuff. I mean, we love him, but, you know, he didn't think that through quite as much either.
John's juggling a lot of balls. Literally, figuratively.
Gurgling and juggling balls. But, you know, I use the term reverse or negative indicator quite a lot when it comes to figuring out what's going on in the info war or what's not going on. I would apply the same thing to John Harold. If you want to know what not to do in the Anon world, I would look to him. There's some things he could probably learn from him, I suppose, but we use him as our negative indicator.
Oh, it wouldn't be a Badlands show if we didn't hate on John for at least a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Do we want to jump on our ads before we get started?
Let's do it. All right, first up, we've got our friends at River. River BTC, are you ready to diversify your assets with Bitcoin? Introducing River, the official Bitcoin partner of Badlands Media, where you can navigate the world of Bitcoin with confidence. With River, you can buy Bitcoin like a pro. With the assurance of being licensed and regulated right here in the U.S., River ensures your Bitcoin journey is smooth and secure with on-demand live support at your fingertips. River empowers you to grow your portfolio without any unwanted surprises and eliminates third-party custodians, putting you in control of your assets. Open an account with no minimum purchase requirement. You can get your Bitcoin journey started with just $1. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/river to create your account today. That's badlandsmedia.tv/river. River is shaping the future of finance one Bitcoin at a time. And bears repeating, anytime this comes up, you do not have to buy a whole $60,000 Bitcoin to diversify your assets into Bitcoin. You can literally convert any of your fiat trash dollars into Bitcoin. We're actually on a dip right now after the recent highs, so maybe not a bad time to get in there.
Get a bit of bitty. All right, my pillow.
Let's do it.
I'm excited to announce we're having a huge MyPillow spring sale, and here's a few examples. Buy one of our MyPillow 2.0s, you get another MyPillow 2.0 absolutely free. Made with cooling technology, the best pillow ever just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of our Percale bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98. And for the first time this year, I'm bringing you our My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your MyPillow 2.0s. Buy one, get one free. Percale sheets as low as $24.98. My Slippers and Sandals as low as $25 a pair. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free.
Gotta love the energy of Mike Lindell.
You gotta love it. Have you ever seen, so there was a YouTube channel, it was called Djibouti Dubs. It still exists, but I don't know, like 5 or 6 years ago, it gained a lot of popularity. And it's just this guy who does voiceovers over like old cartoons and infomercials. And one of them is MyPillow. I'm going to try and find the clip so I can show it. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So if anyone has free time today, I recommend looking up Djibouti Dubs MyPillow. If I can't find it. So
nice.
Anywho, we have segments. We have segments. But before I get started, I'm going to give like a little preamble. So the past week, it seems like there's been nothing in the news waves except for this Palestine is anti-Israel protests, et cetera, et cetera. So the vast majority of my segments are probably going to be hooked onto that. So call it lazy, but it is what it is. My airwaves were clogged. So anyways, clown crown of the week from my end. It's actually our old nemesis, George Soros, and how it relates to all these protests you've been seeing going on. But I'm going to play a quick clip that I found from DC Drano.
Notice that all of these Hamas encampments on universities all kind of look the same, talking the same tents, same signage. I was at one of these protests recently and they didn't even remember the words to their little rhyme, so they were just reading off their phone. And I'm just gonna say it, the same looking people. You can always tell an activist from a regular person. The reason that all of these events look the same, they are being funded by the USCPR, the US Campaign for Palestinian Rights. Who knew? And it's funded by everyone's favorite guy, George Soros. His organization actually pays what they call fellows who start protests on campus. You gotta love capitalism, am I right? They like the socialism thing. They don't want to get, money's bad, America the worst, but here we are, capitalism. This organization pays up to $7,800 to community-based fellows, and then for campus-based fellows, they get somewhere between $2,880 to $3,660. Very specific. Who wouldn't want to sign up for that type of money in Joe Biden's economy? That's probably why these crowds are so massive. They mobilize so fast. Have all these tent cities across the country as it is. And then you have these universities embedded in these cities. And then you get paid if you just like show up and chant a little bit. You don't even have to memorize the rhyme. The math adds up here. And sometimes I see that they have like snacks and water to give out for free. I'd rather be poor with morals, but I can't speak for everyone else. But I do think I'm going to start calling what we're seeing here with these protests and riots as the tent city politics, population Democrats.
Oh yeah, so I guess this should be a surprise to literally no one. I mean, we all know that Soros's job is essentially the funder of all of these chaos movements, whether it's Antifa or school protests. I mean, everybody noticed it from the get-go. I think I on the last podcast or maybe the one before it, I was talking about how I think it's strange how every single one of them showed up with masks on. I mean, like right out of the gate, this reeks of coordination, and it wasn't just like at one protest, it was at all of them. And, you know, of course, then the placards got the same, and, you know, then you couldn't help but notice that a lot of these protesters weren't even students. And you're like, well, okay, where the hell are they coming from? Lo and behold, you know, they're getting some dollar bills from Mr. Soros to show up and act like the fucking idiots that they are. I mean, it's funny too, because even though they're taking these payments, they will tell you with a straight face, you know, that they're doing this because they're activists, et cetera, et cetera. But what's funny and what I found about people like that, you know, who call themselves communists or socialists, whatever, they're some of the greediest people and most corrupt people you will ever meet. You know, it's just like the BLM people. You know, they were the first ones to steal all the BLM money and buy themselves mansions. And, you know, it's hypocrisy to massive scale. But as far as everything, so I really am just so tired of seeing this, all these protests, because we all know what they are. But more than anything, I think that what pisses me off is that it's the media sort of trying to force you into that, you know, one of two camps, right? You're either in the pro-Israel, pro-America camp, or you're in the anti-America, pro-Hamas camp. I'm in the camp of I'm not pro-Hamas or pro-Israel. I'm pro-America. And it's that simple. That's why, you know, like, it's all just noise to me. But you can already see how it's kind of working, you know, on people's minds to get them to be like, oh, you know, all right, now, you know, we got to give money to Israel, because people, clearly these people are crazy. It's the same shit that happened during the Vietnam War, right? The Vietnam War, it was an unjust and stupid war. It just was. However, one of the things the CIA did, which was really smart, was, and a lot of people don't know this, is they are largely responsible for the hippie movement and creating, you know, the flower people, you know, who go and trip acid and act like idiots, you know, don't take showers. And so, you know, back then when everyone saw, you know, who was protesting against the Vietnam War, it was pretty simple. It was like, well, I don't want to be in that camp, so therefore I'm in the pro-Vietnam camp. And it's such a dangerous and insidious thing to do. And it doesn't surprise me that George Soros is doing it. And a lot of people would say, you know, George Soros is Jewish. You know, why would he be giving money to pro-Palestine folks? And that's the exact question you should be asking, because who does this benefit? I mean, I'm sorry. Like, at the end of the day, this benefits Israel more than anyone, because after all this shit, I'm sure they're not going to have nearly as many problems trying to get all these, you know, foreign funds passed in Congress and sent over to Israel. Now, at least they'll have an easier time of doing it. And it just makes me angry, because I want folks to sit down and be like, just point at both sides and be like, you're both irrelevant to me. We're in America right now. No one can afford fucking groceries. And y'all are out here on campus, you know, yelling and hollering about shit that has literally nothing to do with me.
Yeah. I mean, this will probably come up on a few segments today, but when you're talking about the funding and everything, first of all, I saw in the chat Kim B said the funding's being discovered in real time. It's the funny thing with this show and with many of the shows where we talk about seemingly negative topics, but I'll start going down the negative rabbit hole or the cynical rabbit hole, and then I inevitably reach an endpoint like that, like what Kim B points out there, which is that in the past, you know, you mentioned something like the CIA seeding the counterculture movement of the 60s and 70s, which is absolutely true. In fact, my parents are East Coast liberals, and largely, especially my dad, kind of came up in that environment. He was very anti-intervention in Vietnam. Like, he had friends that served, all that kind of stuff. He did not serve, but he accurately was observing that this was an unjust war, just like liberals like me were in 2004, 2002, 2003, right? But the problem is, it then creates the pendulum effect and the parallax effect, where you just start looking at the other side. You go, okay, well, the other side must be good. And that's how they get you. I call it the Patriot pendulum, where Chris Paul often refers to it as the controlled opposition dynamic. It's exactly what they want you to do. The positive thing, though, is that, as can be said, this is being exposed in real time like it never has before. That's not just because the internet is here. The internet's been here for a while, and it's been ubiquitous for at least 10 years or so in American society. The difference is, it seems like the levers of previous censorship and control over the internet, while they still exist to some degree, have been heavily curtailed. You know, there's still a lot of people that have questions about Elon Musk, but if you think that these things wouldn't be, you know, would be being exposed if he was not in control of Twitter, you're kidding yourself. I don't like most of the influencers on Twitter. I still think there's bad operators, good operators, and everything in between, shameless grifters and fame whores, all that kind of stuff. But there's also a natural sifting process happening, and this stuff's being exposed in real time. The American people are seeing it in real time. And talking about funding, one of the kind of funny things I noticed, I think it was last night, some of the protesters at UCLA who had been, or UNC, who had been cleared out by police, they all had matching white helmets on, right? And last Yep. week, what went viral was all the matching green tents, which, if the stories of Sorosian funding weren't bad enough, now normies who maybe would dismiss headlines like that and be like, oh, there's the anti-Semitic, like, Jew-hating conspiracy theorist Nazis we've heard about talking about how it's the Jews. What's making them question things is seeing the next day matching tents, matching signs, matching helmets. The fact that 70 or 80% of arrests that have been occurring on these campuses are not from students at the campuses. They're from other people coming to the campuses, right? So it reminds me of the white helmets that UN peacekeepers were wearing in Syria years ago. It's so funny. They're probably the same ones. I bet you they're the same freaking ones. And then you dig into those white helmets in Syria and you start finding out that they were maybe involved with some shit over there and they weren't just keeping the peace, quote unquote. They were staging photo ops to get the media all spun up in a tizzy, to get us into more proxy wars. So yeah, it's a clownish thing that's going on, but everybody's watching the clown show. The clown show actually helps us accelerate the awakening.
Again, it does, and we point this out every time, that it's so obvious this go around. I mean, it's yeah. hilariously obvious. It's almost like, you know, but before they at least made a little bit of an effort to seem more organic, but, you know, getting all the same green tents and, you know, all where it's like, it's almost as if you're, you know, Soros is deliberately trying to be noticed, like right. the scam. And that I don't pretend to know whether or not Soros is actually being forced to basically lift his mask and show who he is. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like it sometimes. All these people, it seems like they're being forced to lift their masks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just laughing at the chat because Cujo apparently took my rant about privacy as a directive to spam the chat with requests for my personal information for the rest of the show and about the books I've written. Maybe you're joking. If you're not, you're being a retard. Anyway, my crown clown is... I'm going to start the Jimmy's rustling immediately. This is only partially a joke. This is the Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews. Mrs. Bright and I are temporarily divorced tonight. Game 6, Bruins Leafs. Our relationship has survived 3 playoff series between the Bruins and the Maple Leafs. The Bruins have won all 3 of those series, all in Game 7s. This will be the next one that they win in a Game 7. So I expect the Leafs to win tonight, force a dramatic Game 7. The reason Austin Matthews is a crown clown is because he missed Game 5 with, like, diarrhea, basically. His team went on to win without him. He's supposed to be the phenom of the Leafs, and he's just kind of a bitch. He was yelling at his teammates on the bench in Game 4. And I just think that he's emblematic of the whole Leafs culture they've got up there. You could even say Canadian culture. So he's just not a good role model. You've got players literally playing with cracked sternums and punctured lungs, and he gets a tummy ache and he goes into the locker room. Anyway, my actual.
Oh, finally, BB is the one who makes an IT error. Welcome back.
Oh my goodness. All right, well, that's the Canadian deep state. I actually X'd out of the wrong tab, so I'm super pro. Yes, Mrs. Bright, he is American, but he's an honorary Canadian. That's why we shipped him up there. My actual crown clown, though, is Mike Johnson. it kind of dovetails with the topic you just laid out. This is another one that I can spin positively, but everybody's heard about the bipartisan aid packages, or as Jess Heumann's been calling it, the AIDS package to Ukraine, Taiwan, and who's the other proxy state? Israel. So again, this is a negative indicator or reverse indicator, but he's doing us a favor. He's being a clown. He's following directly in the footsteps of Kevin McCarthy. And we predicted this for the people that think that some critics that think that we're just making shit up as we go. We predicted in 2022 that we would lose this, that we would lose the midterm elections, and that the plan was for an exposure, a controlled exposure of Congress. And on it goes. The America First movement cannot be seen in control of U.S. Congress during such a catastrophic period of exposure in the American zeitgeist. If you can't understand that yet, you just are going to be mad every day until you do. It's not going to happen. We are not going to win in this period of time. We can't be seen in control of any of this. So Johnson is a clown, but I firmly believe he is either directly or indirectly working with patriots in order to continue to expose the Uniparty. And he's doing a great job being a clown for us.
I agree. I mean, you know, because what video was he in recently where, you know, Trump was actually standing with him as Mike made an announcement. I really can't remember what it was, but, you know, to me, it was almost a message of Trump is with this guy, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be doing America First things. So then it begs the question, well, so what is he doing? And it's putting on a show, to your point. And the one thing that sucks about this dynamic is that it's so hard to like convince or explain. You sound like an insane person where you're like, well, I mean, this has to happen. We have to allow people to see the truth for themselves. In order to do that, we have to put all the corruption and all the little play actors out there to perform their roles up until 2024. It has to be this way. And, you know, my brother, like 2 or 3 years ago, you know, he's like, you're an idiot, you know, like, oh, you know, yeah, that's just copium, et cetera, et cetera. But what's funny is the other day he came back to me and he said the exact thing. I used to almost like, dude, what the do you remember when I had this exact conversation with you? So, you know, but it was proof positive to me that that strategy is actually working, yeah, because we see how much, you know, the clown show is blowing up in their faces. But,
you know, there's a saying in the Bitcoin maxi world, you get Bitcoin at the price you deserve. And I've been repurposing that for the awakening. You get the awakening at the price you deserve. And the reward for being in the awakening, it's felt like punishment to some of us, to your point, to the analogy you just made. You know, it's felt we were kind of demonized years ago, a lot of people in this world. But the psychological tension that normies who have not gone through an awakening process feel right now is orders of magnitude greater than we do, because we believe there's a method to the madness and we've been following this stuff and engaging with it in a direct path manner for literally 6-7 years now. So we're so much farther ahead, and you can see where that is its own reward. A lot of people are like, you know, what's the reward for the awakening? I said on a recent episode of Defected, the awakening is the reward. It's self-actualizing. Right. And the consequence for not going through it is not being awake. And yep, it's, you know, sometimes we envy normies, but there's a reason Neo doesn't rejoin the Matrix. You know, these normies, they're spinning in a void of stories that other people are telling them. So they're not able to pull themselves out of that. And that's a miserable way to live. It's a way a lot of us lived a long time ago. And I don't think any of us would voluntarily go back.
No, it's like you said, it seems tantalizing. You know, why, oh, why didn't I take the blue pill? Because like ignorance is bliss, but the problem is it's only bliss until it's not. And that's the thing. And that's why the awakening had to happen, is that, you know, your sheep being led to the slaughter when you're ignorant. So this all had to happen. It was the only way. And it's painful, but anything good is painful, at least in the interim.
Yeah.
Very, I know, true. Deep stuff here. Deep stuff, guys. Heretical hero of the week. So I'm sure literally everyone has already seen this clip of the UNC frat boys at the protests guarding the American flag. I'll show up the clip real quick.
Fuck you into fucking war. Hey, bro, lose some weight. Lose some weight. Yeah, it is. It's fuck you.
God. Dude, I think I uploaded the wrong one. Great.
Oh.
But the
one where they're raising the flag or yeah, I've seen
that. Right. What? Yeah, well they were raising the flag and the guy told her to lose weight and it was actually pretty funny. I love that, like, someone finally, like, guys are sitting around drinking beers, like, this is bullshit. They're, you know, they're hoisting a Palestinian flag on our campus. You know, you might have a bunch of libs at UNC, but it's still in the South, and, you know, you still have a bunch of conservative men who still believe in being men and, you know, being patriots for our country and not allowing something like that to happen. And, you know, it's something that I hope emboldens other people to stand up and do the right thing and hoist the American flag as it should. What's been really interesting is watching, you know, I think it was Mayor Adams, you know, who's a pretty big lib, you know, I think it was just yesterday talked about how he was, you know, he was bewildered by anybody, you know, who'd want to hoist another country's flag instead of the American flag. Now, I think that you could make the argument. The only reason he said that is because, you know, he's highly aware of, you know, his Jewish voting base in New York, et cetera, which I think that that's definitely part of it. But that speaks to another issue, which is that these protests have really put Biden in a bind. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Any like civil strife is not good for a presidential candidate. But especially this one where it's like, it's not clear to him what side he should take, you know, to placate his base, because right, it's split down the middle and he just doesn't know what the fuck to do with it.
This is why we've talked about devolution, obviously, on the Devolution Power Hour for a couple of years now, but where we say, you know, I've often focused on the international gravity of events surrounding devolution more than the national, because John obviously did all that research on the domestic scene. But I think that some of this stuff, we often say, we said last night, when it comes to devolution, when it comes to the queue up, when it comes to the plan, for lack of a better term, sometimes you're not going to see these things directly. You've got to look at the gravity of events. Last night we were describing it as sort of a black hole that pulls other events in around it and other narratives in around it. And often, you can see the whole forest better than you can see the individual trees. And an example of that is what's going on here. What you lay out with Biden being put in this position, he was put in the same position with the Kabul withdrawal. He's put in the same position now with Israel. He's put in the same position with Ukraine, where you can start to understand, imagine Donald Trump being in the seat of power right now while this is going on. You've got neocons on the supposed far right calling for carpet bombing of Iran and Gaza, while you've got SJWs on the far left protesting for the exact opposite and for the ouster of Israel, right? There's literally no middle ground that Donald Trump could toe that would satisfy those extremes. And I'm not saying you should satisfy the extremes, but this is where he has delivered another masterstroke of stepping, as Chris Paul calls it. He has removed himself from the controlled opposition dynamic. He stepped out of the way and allowed them to go after each other and shoot at each other while these things resolve on the world stage. And he's going to come back with a different world stage to preside over.
God, I'm so ready for it. But yeah, it's been really interesting to even think about that dynamic. Because then the natural question is, well, aren't Biden and Soros on the same team? Like, why would Soros do something which doesn't benefit Biden? And that's a great question.
Are they? Right.
Right.
Good question.
How
far does patriot control go? These are the things we think about. All right. My heretical hero. My first one. If you want to share my screen here. Brad Marchand, captain of the Boston Bruins. Some people refer to him as the Rat King, because he's kind of known for some ratty stuff. He also looks a bit like a rat.
Ratty.
But we have embraced here in Boston the Rat King. Tyler Bertuzzi on the soft, pliable Maple Leafs tried to get involved in some rat shit with him. I had seen a commentator refer to it as being akin to watching a Dr. Doolittle trash can rat try to go against Stuart Little himself in terms of ratting on the ice. It didn't work that game. It's not going to work in the next couple of games. So he is our heretical hero, but the real heretical hero is Devin Nunez. He is the CEO of TMTG, Trump Media Technology Group. Many know him publicly, obviously, for his former role in politics, but now he's in the private sector and definitely not at all playing part of a role of asymmetric power projection against the deep state anymore. Definitely not doing that. What he's doing this week is doing what many of us have been calling for. Shout out to Raider Pete, the account on True Social that's been following the DJT DWAC drama for months now. The stock, as we predicted, is being short sold by institutional sellers. Massive money interest coming in to short the stock. The long and short of it, the TLDR of this, is that basically these people are, you could argue, illegally rigging the bets, rigging the money lines. And Devin Nunez is calling attention to this, and he's calling for public investigations. I do think that this is part of exposure for now, but I believe that a lot of what we're seeing in this administration and its aftermath is precedent setting. So we had the GameStop and AMC short squeeze a couple of years ago. I think that it would be quite memetic and quite incredible if the biggest short squeeze in American history was over a stock with the initials DJT in the midst of an election cycle. Talk about exposing the falsity of our system and our financial system and just how rigged it is. So, if you're a holder in DJT, you are literally right now engaged in asymmetric warfare and power projection against the deep state. I would personally, my advice, not financial advice, would be if you are in DJT, to think of it less as a profit-taking venture, although if the short gets squeezed, things are going to go pretty well for you. But even if you don't, even if you lose, if you're able to have a little bit in there, somebody had recently referred to this in a conversation I had yesterday as this is basically the way you can make campaign contributions without donating to a campaign. So, and you're also fighting against the worst institutional short sellers in the country. So it's a shout out to Devin Nunez. He's doing, rarely do they do what we just asked them to do. And we've been asking him to bring the attention of this short selling criminality to a wider stage and bring it to the government. That appears to be what he's doing. We'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring this up. Just last night, I had a conversation with a good buddy. He watches the show, so he's probably going to love that we're talking about this. I think the most interesting component of this and the argument that it sounds like Devin Nunez made too is like, look, the vast majority of the investors are retail investors like you and me, you know, people who are putting our hard-earned cash into this venture because we believe in it, and that, you know, these hedge funds are doing something illegal by trying to destroy. So it's not why I think Nunez and you know, True Social and DJT have such a good leg to stand on is like, look, this is legitimate fraud. It's not just attacking a political opponent. They're fucking people out of money. You know, people who don't have a whole lot of money, not as much money as hedge fund investors and things like that. I was talking to yesterday to my same buddy about, you know, the idea of short selling. I've never short sold a stock in my entire life. It just seems so, I don't know, like negative, pessimistic to root for a stock to fail. He made some arguments like, well, you know, it's a way of hedging, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know. I just don't understand what the need for short selling really is. It seems like gambling. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people call the stock market a big casino anyways, but short selling to me is pretty much gambling.
Absolutely.
And I don't know why we've allowed that to remain legal. Why? I mean, I do know why, But I mean, like, I've yet to hear anybody make a really compelling argument as to why short selling is necessary in the market. But
yeah, no, if you want to go to the deep state version of this, or the establishment sort of explanation for this that we saw repeated during the GameStop squeeze, it was, it's okay when we do it, essentially.
Right.
So it's funny, because when you short squeeze the short squeezer, the short sellers, they say that this shouldn't be legal, short squeezing. Yeah. But it's legal when they do it, right? So, you know, the stock market is derivatives. And to your point, short selling is trading derivatives on top of derivatives. It's absolutely ridiculous. If you want the most normie-friendly take on this you can find, and I don't say that as an insult. I say that it's a good movie for people to watch who are new to this concept. Basically, what happened with the 2008 housing crisis was that institutional banks and investors shorted the U.S. housing market. They took the housing market, and the banks that were giving loans to their customers were then short selling the trades on those loans. Mm-hmm. So the banks that were selling people these mortgages were then betting on the mortgages to fail and for them to default, so that they would win either way. Either the customer has to pay them back the mortgage, or if they default, they would gain a short sell bet on that loss of a mortgage. So, which was illegal, literally, should have been illegal. And then Barack Obama came in on his white horse, his pale horse, some would say, and bailed them all out of that practice. So it absolutely should be illegal. I think the stock market is mostly gambling, but I think it should be allowed to exist as long as companies are trading shares that are reflective of actual ownership stake in the company. I don't think there's any right. problem with that, because if you're buying stock in a company, you're buying a piece of an IP or an actual company that exists and does business, and dividends can be paid out and all of that. But when you're betting on price go up, price go down, what you're doing is you're leveraging the price by your bets on the price.
Yeah,
it would
exactly.
be as if the weatherman predicting a snowstorm had a direct impact on whether or not a snowstorm would occur, is what they're doing. So again, it's a simple way to look at it, but absolutely has no place in a free economy. And it's why people have such a bad taste in their mouths about capitalism, because they think that capitalism means casino. But that's not what it's supposed to mean.
No, that's crony capitalism. And what you were talking about, I think it was called a synthetic CDO. The Big Short, the movie, it does a really good job of explaining this. I think that came out in, like, what was it, 2015?
Yeah.
Great watch. I highly recommend it. You know, but you did touch on something just then. I think that that's what makes shorting so dangerous, is that it's a way to destroy companies. If you don't like them, a bunch of hedge funds, all they have to do is team up and be like, we're going to short sell the shit out of this. The algorithm's going to pick it up, and the price is going to shoot down. We all make money, and we put them out of business. You can't really do that if you're just buying shares of. You can choose to not buy shares of company, or you can choose to sell a shitload of shares. Yep. But it's not as easy.
You can't
to
bet
wreck.
On the price. You shouldn't right. be betting on the price. Yeah,
right. And that's what makes shorting so malicious, yeah. in my opinion.
But. The way the Big Short kind of demonstrates this is a pretty cool scene in a casino, where the way they demonstrate it is, you've got people sitting down playing blackjack, and you've got the player versus the dealer, right? The player versus the house. Everybody understands that dynamic. I don't think there's anything wrong with that dynamic. Then you get somebody watching the game that bets on the outcome of that bet. And then you get somebody watching that person bet who bets on their bet about the bet. Yep. And then you get a fourth person who bets on the bettor, who's betting on the bettor, who's betting against the house. And
correct.
That's how our economy actually works.
Yeah, synthetic CDOs. And yep. it basically caused an exponential cataclysm, because the further yep. up the chain it went, the faster it went, the bigger it got.
Yep.
But anyways, yeah, it's... Jesus. It's funny. I throw them at my wife all the time. She doesn't find them funny. And then I'll say something and then not even recognize that it's very, that's what she said, worthy. All
it's
right.
A certain kind of genius, I think.
Yeah. BB genius. Should we jump into our last set of ads?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. We've got some beef. the CanCon special, No Bugs Beef. Badlanders, have you ordered No Bugs Beef yet? Having enough protein to feed your family for several months is essential for your survival. Veteran-owned No Bugs Beef offers freeze-dried beef cubes in freezer boxes with steaks and roasts, all made from high-quality, all-American cattle and designed to last up to 20 years, making them the perfect choice for long-term food storage. Whether you're stocking up your doomsday bunker or just looking for a convenient and delicious meal option, No Bugs Beef has you covered. Enjoy delicious, high-quality beef anytime, anywhere, knowing that you're prepared for whatever the future holds, and start enjoying peace of mind along with your delicious meals. Get your family prepared for the chaos at badlandsmedia.tv/nobugs. And don't forget to use promo code BADLANDS for an even bigger discount, 15% off. That's badlandsmedia.tv/nobugs, promo code BADLANDS. The reason I call it the CanCon special is because I will never let him live down the fact that when he first got a bag of these, he started eating them without hydrating them, allowing his stomach juices to do the hydration.
Oh God, I bet that was rough.
Which is why any opinion that he forwards, you can immediately discount based solely on that information.
All right, I think we got our last one, the Badlands Shop.
In today's fast-paced world, peace of mind is priceless. That's where Badlands Media steps in. Preparing for life's uncertainties is about being ready for anything, right where you are. Welcome to the Badlands Media Shop. We've partnered with Patriot companies offering products that empower you to prepare for any eventuality comfortably from your home. The Badlands Media Shop has everything you need to secure your peace of mind. Browse the virtual aisles. Prepare your family for the year ahead with products you can trust from companies that share your values. Whether it's growing your own food or prepping long-term storage, protecting your family, or stocking up on emergency supplies, we've got you covered. Get prepared. Visit Badlands Media Shop at badlandsmedia.tv/shop today. Every purchase supports a freedom-loving business as well as Badlands Media. That's badly.
Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, I didn't mean to click it off. I went to the pisser and rushed back and accidentally clicked it off. Okay. But you got the idea. You buy stuff from the Badlands shop.
And give us a like, by the way.
Oh, yeah, likes. We need the likes.
We appreciate those. Obviously, this is an afternoon show, and the likes help the discoverability for when people want to get into the shitlordery on Friday and Saturday. So we much appreciate that. And as always, if you aren't watching live and can't submit a rant, if you want to, you can go to badlandsmedia.tv, click the support tab, and shoot us a boost, which we'll either get during the show or on the next week's episode.
I appreciate it. I just think it speaks to our upstanding character that we always forget to ask for likes.
It's true.
Yeah. But you remembered, so I guess you're a shitty character. Speaking of trash trends. So this one, hopefully I got my video actually loaded up. All right, so this is a judge, a bailiff, and apparently the rest of the courtroom doing a TikTok dance. This shit's got to stop. I like it. It reminds me of when, they're like, oh, deadly pandemic, and you had, all the nurses and doctors doing the fucking Macarena, while people are dying of cancer, and it was just so ridiculous and so ludicrous. I remember thinking, when I was arguing with people, who were stuck in the Matrix, telling me about how deadly COVID was. Like, dude, all these doctors won't stop dancing. Like, if they were really drowning in bodies and sickness, do you think that they would be in a cheery mood and like, let's go film a TikTok? No, they wouldn't. And look, also have some respect for your profession. I mean, you're a judge, okay? I don't care that you'd like to have. Yeah, it's good that you like to have fun, but don't do it in a courtroom. And do it with a bailiff. I can't believe that they all said yes to it. It also just speaks to, I don't know who the judge is, but she's obviously a narcissist, and I definitely wouldn't want to get her as my judge. She comes off as somebody who's not going to render a great judgment, but she also comes off as a judge that's probably going to let, you know, a serial killer off, or, you know, grant him bail. I know that there are a lot of people out there, you know, who defend TikTok and say like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of bad shit, but, you know, it helps get the word out, and it does. I just wish that we as human beings were smart enough to not fall for these stupid little dance trends. Like, why? What's the appeal of it? Like, what do you just love getting likes? I mean, do you love seeing yourself on the screen dance around like, you know, you have a fucking demon in your pants? I don't get it. It's narcissistic behavior. That's the simplest way you can put it. It's just supreme stupid. I can't watch these anymore.
I was looking for a political cartoon. It might have been from Ben Garrison. I couldn't find it, but people have probably seen it. It's like these nurses looking through the glass at a dying COVID patient, and then when he dies, they start dancing and do all that crap, right? But it's really, I mean, you mentioned like a demon. That's kind of how it looks. You know, it looks like, at first you're like, oh, that's kind of weird. I don't know what's going on here. It's silly. It's a little embarrassing. But, you know, the context behind a lot of these figures, these frontline nurses, right? Like, they're on a fucking battlefield. Give me a break. I don't want to hear that shit anymore. And my whole family, not even just about COVID, but in general, but like half of my family are nurses. Cool. Good job. You know why you're a nurse? Because it's a job and it pays the bills and it has good benefits. You're not a nurse because you're out there toiling through the trenches of World War I, slinging bodies across your shoulder and winning the war. You're a nurse. Shut up. Shut up about it. Well, nobody cares.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember, like at the very beginning of the pandemic, all the hospitals had those signs out in front of them that said, "Heroes work here."
Yeah.
That right there speaks to it. And could we water down that word anymore? I think that that's what really, it's like we say hero now, and apparently just anything makes you a hero. You know, dancing on TikTok makes you a hero. If you're,
and obviously it's a minority that do this, but it's, you know, it's ridiculous. It's the equivalent. Like you said, they're trying to, you know, I even find it a little, I don't always even love it when we get like gratuitous shout outs to military and everything at sporting events. And I love the military, right? But it's like, there is a certain amount of that maybe it's part of my former liberal mindset, but you know, the military do a job, right? And they technically work for whoever's in the White House, and they've done some not cool shit over the years, right? So I don't hold that necessarily against the soldiers. But to even automatically conflate a military veteran as being a hero is dishonest. It is a dishonest thing to do. Now, I think many of them are, and certainly are more likely to be deserving of that moniker than nurses. And I know it's going to piss some people off, but we have to get over this kind of hero worship. We cannot worship positions, just like we can't worship a president, right? We like Donald Trump because we believe in the principles he espouses. We do not follow him or boost him because of his office. The office is a job. That's what it is. You do not deserve to be hero worshipped for the job you do. A judge doesn't deserve to be hero worshipped. A president doesn't deserve that. A nurse certainly doesn't deserve that. And God forbid, a teacher does not deserve that either. No more than a podcaster deserves that, right?
Right.
So you're all just human beings. You are judged by what you do, not by the position that you occupy. If you are a soldier and you save innocent life, you are a hero. Just the same as if you were a random civilian and you pull somebody out of a burning car, you are a hero. That's what a hero is. It's not how you're getting paid. It's not what your position is. It's what you do.
Right. It's the litmus test is this. Did you do heroic shit during your time as X, whatever you're doing? Yeah. I mean, it's, and this is kind of, it's something you have to be careful with in conservative circles, because a lot of people are like, no, you know, they are heroes, you know, fighting for our freedom. Is like, y'all, I'm not saying that, you know, veterans aren't, you know, good people and that they aren't doing a good job, et cetera, et cetera. But you have literally watered down the term of hero to mean nothing. Bill Burr actually has a pretty good segment about this, but, you know, I mean, like, it's kind of similar to like when during the Iraq war, you know, they're like, oh, you know, these boys are fighting for our freedom. It's like, but they weren't. That's really not what was going on. You know, I mean, the war in Iraq had literally nothing to do with, you know, America's freedom or our Constitution. And I'm sorry if that offends anyone, but that's just the truth. Now, did a lot of soldiers go over there and do heroic things? Absolutely, they did. But, you know, it doesn't mean that every single person, the same thing with cops. Not all cops are heroes and all cops are good. People are people. And you'll know them by their fruits. And it's that simple. But I think that kind of speaks to the larger tent of the dumbing down of America, where we're just going to keep repeating things over and over again and turning everything up to 11 instead of having like nuanced discussion about things. And yep. I mean, as we all know, nuance has basically disappeared, but
yeah. And you know, I'm not trying to shit disturb. I mean, I guess I am. I'm intentionally trying to shit disturb, but here's an example of this, right? And again, I love good military veterans, but if you want to share my screen here, I don't know if you guys saw this. This is during COVID. All of these American heroes right here, their buddy didn't want to take the vaccine. Let's see how they responded to that. So they didn't want it. He didn't want to take the vaccine. They told him he had to take it. So this is how these American heroes decided to reward their brother in arms.
To be non-compliant. Are you choosing to be non-compliant? Get on the floor. Get on the floor. Get on the floor. Let's go. Get on the floor. Get on the fucking floor. Stop resisting.
Where's the handcuff? I need a handcuff right now.
Get his arm. I got it. Here, get the handcuffs into the leg.
I need a handcuff. I'm going for his left.
So I'll stop subjecting you to that. That man suffered a torn labrum in two places. They injured his knee. I think they broke a rib. They forced the vaccine into him.
Actually held him down and gave him a shot?
Yes, they forced him down and they gave him a shot. And he's now probably going to win a lawsuit against them. But they literally forced him. They treated him like he was a criminal. And again, this isn't to say, I'm not going the other side of the pendulum and saying the military's bad, right? But this is one of those things. The military is the logical endpoint of hero worship based on position. It's something that we need to get away from. This is something that liberals are correct about, that a lot of conservatives can't face really, because they associate veterans with the American flag and with this nation. And we have to stop doing that. If they are defending our nation, they deserve our praise. If they're doing shit like that, they deserve to be in an effing gulag. Those guys deserve to be strung up and drawn and quartered, as far as I'm concerned, peacefully, of course, metaphorically. But, you know, again, we're talking about nurses and everything, but sometimes we need to take these things to their logical endpoints, because it's something I've always been resistant to and recalcitrant to automatically hero worship somebody who is presented to me as some sort of veteran. I judge people exactly by what they do, how they behave, and their effect on others around them. Not based on what establishment figures or tradition tells me to judge them based on.
Right. I mean, this is discernment, folks. This is why discernment is important. You know, you have to actually think. You have to use your critical thinking skills. It's that simple. You know, and these are the guys, by the way, the guys who were forcing that dude on the ground. These are the dudes who would be first in line to volunteer to, you know, be part of a gun confiscation program throughout America. And exactly. This is what I worry about our military becoming, is just a bunch of yes men, you know, who bow to the globalist agenda instead of the Constitution. I mean, I don't know how they recruited the dudes to actually hold that guy down and forcibly inject him. But part of me thinks they're like, all right, find the bitchiest yes men in our unit and what blows my mind more than anything about that is I can't believe he wasn't like dishonorably discharged. They actually forced a vaccine into his arm. Just because you're a soldier, it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, be held down and have a foreign substance injected into you. And I hope that he wins every single bit of money that he asked for. It's one of those rare instances where I'm actually pro litigious, you know, and sue the shit out of them. You know, right. Get every ounce of money you can out of that because it's utterly ridiculous. Was this a clip that just surfaced recently? Because
I saw it a while back. The news of the lawsuit, dude. I was trying to find this. If anybody in the chat has it, it'd be worth pulling up. But yeah, I mean, I may have some of the details. I don't know all the details of it. I don't know how far it's going. I know he was injured. He was being held in a detention facility on a base, seemingly for refusal to take the vaccine. I mean, perhaps there's some sort of protocol that they have in place there, but the fact that it's being litigated leads me to believe that that action taken was not the action that was supposed to be taken, according to protocols. Like you said, you know, there's other ways that you would deal with somebody like that.
Good God, man. I you know, it's so funny. Every day I just think about that period of time. Like, that was probably the cringiest stretch of history in human history. Yeah. I don't know that there was anything cringier than that. And but the nice part is that people like you and I, at least we're sitting on the outside watching it be cringe in real time and knowing there was cringe. Right. I just can't imagine like all the people who participated in it. I hope at least some of them are looking back now and be like, God damn, man, like that was probably the cringiest shit I ever did in my entire life that I actually bought into all that. But
yeah,
we can only hope.
Yeah, eventually, you know, we all dealt with, thank God, not stuff that guy's dealing with, but well, some of us did, but, you know, more so just the ridicule of friends and family and the holier than thou attitude and everything. But again, it was very frustrating at the time, the COVID psyop, but the positive way of looking at it is, again, the reward is self-actualizing, as are the consequences. And some of those consequences are just the shame that a lot of those people feel for that period of time and the way they acted like good little soldiers, like good Nazis. You know, a lot of people found out who they were. You know, that's the gift that the COVID era gave us. I remember, you know, it brought my wife and I closer together. You know, we were at home one night and, I had the flexibility where I was working online at my day job. So even though my boss is an ideologue and would have probably tried to force me to get the vaccine if we had an office, they didn't attempt to force me, but my wife was at an office and, we had that conversation early on where, you know, I said, listen, I am under no circumstances going to do this under any circumstances. And she said the same thing. And we agreed with each other that if we lost jobs because of it, we would figure it out because it wasn't worth it. And that's why I often say, you know, a lot of the people that say, oh, I had to get it, I had to do that. No, you didn't. You made a choice. You made a choice every step of the way. And those choices had consequences. But, you know, you get to the people that held true to themselves during that era are going to be glad that they did. And I think are glad that they did.
For sure. God, I just, you know, but then I feel so bad for people like, you know, my grandparents, you know, and even my boomer parents. I feel like those are the people who they legit thought that they were going to die if they didn't get it, you know, and I hope God has mercy on them because, you know, I mean, first of all, you know, they spent their entire lives basically believing every word of the mainstream media. And then, you know, when you get up there in years, you're starting to feel a little bit more mortal and you just sort of start following the orders of any and every doctor. And you're like, shoot me up, doc. Now, granted, I will grant that there are plenty of people out there who said no, but I don't know. And that's the thing is like, I still try not to judge people too much for taking it. I judge the people who were out there saying you have to take it or you're retarded. You know, because look, we all make mistakes, you know, and I'm also not anti-vax in the specific sense. I'm just anti-vax in the sense that, look, if you don't want to take it, don't take it. You know, we don't have to take it if we don't want to. It's that simple. If you want to take vaccines, go for it, man. Get every stupid fucking vax you want. But that's your choice, and you're not going to force it on me.
My body, my choice. Kelly Noak in the chat, speaking of veterans who deserve respect, said, I told my husband to make them fire you. They threatened it every day, but never did. Only person in this whole brigade that did not take it. And who feels worse right now? Oak for not taking the vaccine in his brigade or all those other bitches that took it?
Yeah.
Imagine them being in a room with him these days. Like, oh my God. You know, it's unspoken. A lot of this stuff is unspoken, but it's there. My trash trend, it's gonna tread on something you discussed in our first segment. But first, little teaser, trash trend. I'm gonna pull my screen up here. The 1967 Maple Leafs. This is the Toronto Maple Leafs. So my trash trend is the Maple Leafs existing in the first place. This is the black and white photograph of the last Toronto Maple Leafs team to win the Stanley Cup. First of all, congrats to these bozos and clowns, but it doesn't matter because in 1967, there were six NHL teams. So the last time the Leafs won the championship, they had a 1-in-6 chance of doing so every year. I don't think anybody in the U.S. even knew what hockey was at this time. So this was the last time they won. They should have just folded the franchise in 1968. Otherwise, you know, we're left with this pain and suffering that continues to be inflicted upon the Canadian people. My actual trash trend, though, goes back to the protests. I had written down in my notes, proxy protests. It goes along with what you were saying earlier. I liked this photo because it's sort of, to me, you can kind of play a Where's Waldo with it. You can play a little game with it and say, you know, look for what are the various figures in this photograph representative of in terms of a proxy. You've got the white helmets here that are representative of, you know, UN and NATO, Sorosian funding, organized Marxism, maybe. You've got the hijab or something there. You got some reflective stuff. So what's this? Is this an extremist? Is this some sort of domestic ISIS? What's going on here? I'm going to get canceled for that. I don't know what that proxy is. And then maybe these guys are good guys. I mean, I think they're justified in what they're doing here, but you've still got cops in riot gear that the narrative uses this kind of imagery against common sense movements, right? So these guys maybe didn't have a choice here, but unfortunately, the Marxist left sees these guys in their riot gear as proxies of the establishment, as proxies of the state, and power projection in that way. So my trash trend is very similar to what you said in the first segment. It's just about the controlled opposition dynamic. That's what they want you in. They want a photograph like that, right? If the end result of the deployment is that picture, then they have won. Now, the good news is what we already mentioned on this show. It's so obvious this time that I think most Americans are not actually demonizing the officers there. They're looking at the coordinated nature of these protests, and they're looking at just chaos in general, and they don't like it. But in terms of what lessons can we personally take out of these kinds of things, not of these kind of deployments, don't be any of the people in that photo, is what I would say. Don't allow yourself to be a proxy of state power projection as an officer. Don't allow yourself to be roped into a Marxist revolution. And honestly, don't even allow yourself to go down and make a big statement as part of a fraternity, because you're just kind of creating controlled opposition dynamic. You're being wielded by forces beyond your understanding or your control. So defect from that stuff, but point it out to other people. And that's a way I think that you can advance sort of asymmetric power projection against these kinds of psyops.
Wait, are you saying that you don't agree with what the UNC frat boys did with defending the American flag?
No, I do. I do agree with what they did. But I think that I wouldn't do it. And I think the reason is they're giving you, the other side is going to use these kinds of mimetic moments for their purposes. Good people are going to use it for their purposes as well. So, you know, do what you want to do. It's just, I think that you can get roped into the sort of controlled opposition dynamic that they want to project, right? All they need, when you've got a bunch of UNC frat boys with an American flag, all the media does is just takes a picture of that and writes a headline about it, right? And your normie on the couch is told whatever story about that picture that they want to be told. Whereas I think what's more effective is to combat that misinformation and to combat that stuff, talk about what's going on here, which is what we try to do. So it's less about them. It's more about the controlled opposition dynamic within those photos. What they want is Marxist protesters pictured being attacked by riot police officers, right? So it's not to demonize the police, it's not to demonize frat boys or anything. It's just to say that if you find yourself being pictured as a part of that kind of a totally inorganic revolutionary moment, you're helping the funding, you're helping the forwarding of the PSYOP that this is meant to forward.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember too, like I saw one picture, it was a different angle of the UNC Chapel Hill frat boys. And there was like one frat boy who was like holding up the Israeli flag. And that kind of speaks to it too, which is like, dude, you just missed the whole point. You know, like this is about the American flag. This isn't about Hamas or Israel. This is America. We fly the American flag. And it pissed me off because again, he fell for the dynamic, and it muddied the waters. And to me, what the UNC frat boys really stand for is like America first, America yeah, right. first, y'all. Goddamn, this isn't that true. Difficult. But yeah, you know, do everything at your own risk. You know, to your point, like I choose not to wear MAGA stuff to the grocery store. You know, because I live in a blue city and I don't feel like getting, you know, punched in the head by some nut just because I decided to support Donald Trump. And probably if you do wear one, hey, more power to you. It's just, you know, I don't feel like dealing with that my day to day. I wear my MAGA stuff at the lake where I know that, you know, it's a place where I can actually get away with wearing that stuff. But
yeah. And again, my point is more about the people being funded, the people being wrapped up into, you know, kinetic escalation on either side. You know, we talk about this with J6. I don't think there's anything wrong with people who went to that rally and voiced their support for Donald Trump, wore their MAGA gear, all that kind of stuff. They were absolutely infiltrators. They were absolutely paid agitators, agent provocateurs, everything that this community knows all about. However, they were also, unfortunately, MAGA people who got roped into these things because they allowed themselves to get roped into it, escalated situations. Obviously, a lot of that's been exaggerated. But when I see some of these movements, I think the frat boys, what they did a great job of was not allowing that to get escalated. But you do wonder if you had another side there that wasn't terrified of these frat boys. You Right. saw it back years ago when you'd have Proud Boy clashes with Antifa. And they were maybe justified in many of those instances. But they still went there looking for conflict, where right. what they were doing was literally feeding the media industrial complex exactly the imagery that they wanted to be fed. Well, so I just think that there's more effective ways to do it.
Well, there is. And it's a good point, though, because and I think one of the reasons that the UNC frat boy photos were so striking to me, it was like watching a fish out of water, because you're watching a PSYOP and then you're seeing people who are not involved in the clearly not involved in the PSYOP at all suddenly become involved. And and it's a weird dynamic because you look around, you're like, dude, I feel like I'm part of something that just is completely synthetic and artificial. And like, what did I get myself caught up into? And that's what happened on J6. Yeah. Obviously, the vast majority of people, you know, were just average Joes. And then, you know, but they didn't know that they were in the midst of a PSYOP that was about to go radioactive. And to your point, they love when there are organic, when people get involved organically into a synthetic PSYOP, because then it makes it look more legitimate.
It's more
believable. Exactly.
Right. And again, I agree with you that I would separate the frat boys from this, because they did a great job of basically making it just about the flag and just about, hey, you're blocking us from going to classes and everything. But yeah, there's a lot of people kind of on the outskirts of that get roped up into this kind of stuff. Useful idiots, right? There's a reason they call people useful idiots, and then that's one of the key vectors of control for communists. Always has been.
All right, last segment, trad trends, and keeping on theme, I've got one more little clip. This was at University of Alabama, which I was surprised by, because most of the SEC schools besides Texas had largely skirted these protests. But there are two camps there. You'll see in this video clip, there's the pro-Trump folks on one side or America First folks on one side, and then the pro-Palestine folks on one side. But what's funny is what they both start chanting together.
Fuck Joe Biden! Fuck Joe Biden! Fuck Joe Biden!
a beautiful moment.
It is a beautiful moment, and it speaks to the dynamic we're talking about, where Biden's between a rock and a hard space. You know, a lot of these, it's hard to placate the left, especially, you know, the borderline militant left who call themselves Marxists and everything like that, because nothing's ever going to be good enough. But we really are kind of having this oddly unifying moment in America right now where most people can agree that Joe Biden fucking sucks. Yeah. Now, the people on, you know, the MAGA side might have a totally different reason from the people who, you know, are on the pro-Palestine side or whatever it may be. But whatever it is, we're all getting together and be like, dude, this guy is like at least 57 bars below what Donald Trump was. And yeah, it should have him worried. It should have his administration worried. I mean, we all know that Trump is going to win 2024. At least he should win. But I kind of want to call back at something I tweeted, I think it was earlier this week or maybe late last week, where what sucks about 2024 this year is we've already been through the shenanigans of 2020, right? And what's more interesting is the fact that we all know that there's going to be shenanigans in 2024, like all the people who are awake, all the MAGA folks.
Yeah.
But what's interesting too is like even the normies are expecting something in 2024 to like wreck or upend, or, you know, there's going to be a sudden shit slew of, you know, hurricanes, riots, whatever it may be. Practically no one is expecting a run of the mill election in 2024. And neither am I. I mean, if you think that they're just going to, you know, let Donald Trump win fairly in 2024 again, you're wrong. I'm not saying he's not going to. I think he is. But I think that what kind of gives me heartburn is just the not knowing part, you know, not knowing exactly what kind of shit antics they're going to pull this go around. You know, they already pulled the cards that they pulled in 2020. And so I think it just makes me think like, God, you know, they're a cornered animal, you know, they're scared. What kind of, you know, absolute insanity are they going to try and create? You know, because at this point I think, look, we're all exhausted. We're ready to just be at the end. You know, and it sucks. I'm human just like the rest of y'all. And, you know, I sort of get tired, and it's one of the reasons I haven't really been on Twitter the last couple of weeks. It's just at this point to me, it sort of seems like I've seen this movie before. You know, and now reruns, I'm just kind of, I'm just kind of waiting for it to happen. I don't really have a ton of like analytical commentary on any of this. But, you know, but at the same time, I do still sit here and think like, God, man, what are they going to do in 6 months?
Right.
I just don't know that I have the energy for it.
I totally agree with you. And I think a lot of us feel that way. I think we've, as a community of sort of Benons, have, you know, truth community, whatever you want to call us, people who have been awake to this stuff for a long time, including the controlled opposition dynamic, we've started to take on the role of observers more so than guiders, I think. Not in a bad way. I think that there's a way to be an active observer and a commentator. I mean, we're literal commentators, right? But even everybody watching this show, you're that commentator in your circle. You're the node in your circle, social circle. And I think these days, what I would advise people to start paying attention to or noticing in your personal life, because I bet it's going to be happening with increasing frequency, is the number of times that normies in your friends and family group approach you of late rather than the other way around. An approach could mean just verbally. They just mention a little aside, a side comment. They ask you a question when a couple of years ago, they roll your eyes anytime you open your mouth, right? Try to practice not starting the arguments recently and see if the arguments come to you. And I think you'll find that, like that clip you played, that's a sign. That's a beautiful sign of the convergence. I use that word all the time. And then one more, you know, white pill to put a button on this particular topic. If you want to share my screen here, loved this right before we went live. I saw this headline out of The Atlantic. This is one of the key cultural narrative setters of the establishment. Biden's patience with campus protests runs out, but here's the subhead. Chaos in the streets, real, imagined, or exaggerated, is never to an incumbent's advantage. The media knows that all of this chaos, whatever you just projected, about 2024 and the elections, you know who it's all going to come back on? The establishment, because they are the ones who cultivated this environment, this divisive environment. And the American people, even the ones who do not like Donald Trump, know that the establishment are the ones who cultivated this environment.
Right.
So just let it happen.
Well, that's an extremely important point, is that the difference between 2020 and 2024 is a lot of people are now aware of what, like, okay, so we had a bit of a head start on the establishment. You know, I had my awakening, you know, in early 2017. But again, it took a lot of people to see a lot of the bullshit in order for them to actually wake up to the establishment, especially since they can't pin anything on Trump anymore, right? I mean, you know, they've got Trump's out of office. He's in, you know, only in the courtroom. They're watching the establishment go after Trump, and that's why Trump is such a great Achilles heel for them, is because they put all of their eggs in that basket, right? Literally everything wrong with the world is Trump's fault. The only problem with that is once you establish that line of reasoning, is that when he's gone, you can't blame him anymore. I mean, you can try, and they certainly have. Yeah. And it worked maybe for probably like a year or so after the 2020 election, but that shit's worn thin now, you know, right. And they can't do it. And that's going to be the difference between 2020 shenanigans and 2024 election shenanigans, is that there was a very large segment of the population, i.e., you know, the MAGA population, that saw the bullshit that was going on in 2020. In 2024, everyone's going to fucking see it. They're going to know exactly who's doing it, and they can't really blame it on Trump, because Trump, even if he's, you know, elected, he's still not in office until January.
Right.
So it's not going to be him who's causing chaos in the streets.
Yep. And that's, you know, it's sort of like when you're trying to blame, when you get caught doing something by mom, and then you start talking about something your brother did, totally unrelated. Does she want to hear it? She never wants to hear it, right? That's kind of what's going on right now. All right, my trad trends. Do this one quick before we get out of here. I'm going to share my screen here. Just Boston in general. Boston sports. If you can see here on the chart, it's been a little while. It's been a little while since our last championship. And if you'll notice the right side of the column here, a little light. A little light in the 2000s. So both of these teams are in the playoffs right now. They're going to beat the Leafs en route to another Stanley Cup. We need this column to extend a little bit, and because it's been just way too long. You know, it's Bostonians deserve more championships. We always deserve more championships.
No, you don't.
Better than you, and we're going to prove it again. But my actual trad trend is this video that the 4th PSYOP group of the U.S. Army dropped last night while we were live on the Power Hour. Not long after we were talking about their teasers for this video, which was incredible. Play a tiny little bit of it here.
There are many people in the world who really don't understand. Freedom has many difficulties, but we have never had to put a wall up to keep our people in. Freedom is indivisible.
Now that is the stuff I've been writing about for a couple of years, that a lot of us have been writing about and talking about, that the QAnon really first seeded into the minds of people who were not involved in PSYOPs. My trad trend here is PSYOPs about PSYOPs are now going mainstream. Psychological operations is becoming a more and more common term in the normie layers of the collective mind, which means we are much closer to an end point or a transition point than we are to the beginning point. And I think that that's very good. I personally believe that the first quote of that video from the 4th PSYOP group was talking about sparking awakenings in the mind, right? One mind can spark another. That's why this community matters so much. That's why each person in the awakening matters so much, because you're a match that lights other matches that light caches. That's exactly what this is all about. It's not corny. It's just how it works. It's how Awakening works. The military knows this. The people that matter, that the people that are working, as John says, in a devolution sandwich, top down and bottom up. We're the bottom up. They're the top down. And we're going to meet in the middle. You're muted.
Here's the thing about PSYOPs, and it's easy to forget. Sometimes you have to zoom out, you know, and sort of look at things from, you know, let's say over the past 50 years. The thing about PSYOPs is that the best way for a PSYOP to work, really the only way PSYOPs can work, you know, at a continuous pace, is for people to not know what the fuck a PSYOP is. Because yeah. If you don't know what a PSYOP is, then you think that everything that's happening around you is organic. You know, but when you compare, say, the year 2024 to the year 1994 or even 2004, you know, the people who knew what a PSYOP was, you know, people who were sort of in the underground conspiracy theory communities, it was very fringe. It was very few people. I mean, it is mainstream discussion now. It is common to hear people talking about it. And that had to happen. It had to, because it's a hidden culture, right? And it had to come out into the open in order for people to be free of it, because you had to see it. And when it's seen, it can't operate. And I don't know. It just feels good to know that it's finally becoming, because to me, it's a snowball that is already rolling and it can't be stopped. You know, right now they're sort of just trying to, they're like the little Dutch boy trying to plug the dam with his fingers. It's going to burst no matter what they do. So hopefully sooner rather than later.
It's trending in our direction. Do you have a Holly hope before we get out of here? And do you have no hope this afternoon?
Oh, so I tried watching Fallout. It was okay. I didn't get that wrapped up into it. And it wasn't that it was like bad writing or anything like that. I think it was more just, you know, there are these, the shows like Fallout or Walking Dead, et cetera, et cetera. You know, its dim outlook on the world, it eventually kind of like gnaws at you a little bit, at least for me. You know, I'm like, you know, I can only watch so much of, like, you know, a post-apocalyptic world where everything sucks, you know, and like I said, the writing was good, et cetera, et cetera. I just didn't get hooked to it. But that's just me.
Yeah, I totally get it. It's got a weird tone too. That it's kind of one of those, like, you're either going to get into that tone or you're not. I kind of got into it. It's weird. It's an odd sort of up and down thing. I also think some of the acting is not great, and then a couple of the performances are really good. I thought it was solid, but yeah, I totally get it. I did start checking out Shogun, and damn.
Solid. Oh, and that reminds me, I was wrong. Last week, I think that I said that there was going to be a second season of Shogun. There's not. There's right. not going to be a second season. They are doing another season based on another book, I believe, that which is actually about the Tokugawa. Am I saying that right? The Tokugawa Shogunate. But it's not going to be a follow up to this one, which sucks, because I'm not going to spoil anything. But they basically end it right before, like, you know, all the huge battles and everything start, which right. I can understand, because I'm sure there's limits as far as budget goes. But
all right, my Holly hope just before we get out of here, I saw the trailer for season 6. This is a silly show, but I freaking love it. It's unabashedly just kind of based in a somewhat shocking way. It's Cobra Kai on Netflix. It's a successor to the Karate Kid series. If you guys haven't seen this, and if you're looking for something to watch with your kids that looks woke in terms of the window dressing, it's, you know, about karate tournaments and all this kind of stuff. You got black, you got white, you got gay, you got straight, you got... But what's incredible about it is Johnny Lawrence, played by William Zabka, the original Johnny Lawrence from the original Karate Kid. He is... he's not like a MAGA guy, but he basically would be. And this is just some of his dialogue from early seasons. This show is just unabashed It is what it is. It's super dramatic and ridiculous about intra-valley karate rivalries between rival dojos. It jumps the shark all the time. But I love that it has managed. I feel like it's a Trojan horse where it looks like woke window dressing, but it's a super based show about just building yourself up and taking responsibility for your actions that has gotten great ratings. So they keep doing more of them.
You want me to flash my bits? That'll cost you extra.
No, that's the opposite of what I want. Nobody wants to see your bits. Just take the sign.
So what is the problem, Mr. Diaz?
No problem, Sensei. You punch me. I have asthma, so.
Not anymore. We do not allow weakness in this dojo. So you can leave your asthma and your peanut allergies and all that other made-up bullshit outside. Is that understood? Yeah!
Come on, Tits. You can do better than that. You got weight. Use it. Ready? Yeah! Hey, Lip. Yeah, you, the one with the freaky lip. Who do you think I'm talking to? All right, you hear that, Lip? If you can't handle someone making fun of you, how are you going to handle an elbow to the teeth? Are you one of those challenge kids?
Well, the doctor said I could be on the spectrum.
I don't know what that is, but get off it pronto, all right?
So, I love that. I could be on the spectrum. I don't know what that is, but get off it pronto. Yeah, check out Cobra Kai. It's kid safe, but mom and dad will enjoy it too, and it's just entertaining, and that's my Holly Hope.
Isn't the Karate Kid like John, what's his name, Ralph Macchio? Ralph Macchio, is he the bad guy in this series?
Like, the first season is basically you're in the perspective of Johnny Lawrence and how he saw Danny LaRusso in the first movie. And then as the show goes, you get LaRusso back into it. So he's the villain in Johnny Lawrence's eyes, but both of them, it's basically alternates between them. And then of course, as all the best anime series goes, it's basically a live action anime where then the rivals have to work together against a bigger karate enemy. So it's fantastic. It's stupid, unabashedly, unashamed of what it is. And I love it for it. All right, and we did have a rant come through. Doc from Amish, Pennsylvania. Great show, lads. Y'all are making Thursdays great again. And I got
sweep the leg. The
show. Yeah, sweep the leg heading into the weekend.
All right. Any other rants? Or are we about to sign off?
I think that's it.
All right, everyone. Until next week, MAGA on. We will see you later. Oh, yeah. And like the video.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye.